Bill Buckley until 2 then, and it's time to get up to date with all the modern way of living. Fevzi Turkalp, editor of GadgetDetective.com, host of the Gadget Detective podcast, is here to demystify as per. Afternoon, Fevzi.
Afternoon, how are you?
I'm well, nice to have you with us. Shall we start with your tech news of the week, which is basically one giant attacking another giant whilst they're a bit vulnerable, you might say, yes?
Well, yes. So Meta, which is the company that owns Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp, has announced that it's going to have yet another go at producing an alternative to Twitter. And I say yet another go because they've done this several times, but the difference this time is that, as you've alluded to, Twitter is somewhat weakened at the moment. I mean, admittedly, it had some problems before Elon Musk took over, but not existential ones, I would suggest. And so many people have left. And I was actually on Twitter yesterday. I mean, I use it for publicizing the shows that I'm going to be doing and things like that, but I don't use it socially. And I actually realized that I felt physically sick using it, that the hate that I was seeing on there was just so far above, an order of magnitude above what it used to be.
Wow.
And I had to just, what I've actually done is I haven't taken Twitter off my tablet, but I've moved it off the homepage so that I don't pop into it, you know, when I'm not really thinking that I actually have to. And it's just a shame. But so, you know, we have Mastodon, which is this decentralized alternative. So by decentralized, we mean that instead of it all running on a central computer server system like Twitter does, that it runs across a network of servers that each sort of serve different groups of people.
Oh, right.
And
I've never heard of this. Is this a well-known thing? Have I been sleeping on the job here, or is it far less?
Thing about distributed computing, that was actually the whole idea of the internet, by the way. When the internet was born out of several networks, there was the American Military Defense Network. There was other networks like something called JANET. It was a joint academic network, and they joined together. And the reason why these sort of what are called wide area networks were created, where there were computers on all different parts of the country in America, was to guard against nuclear strike.
Gosh.
So that if America had all its computer power in one place and it got nuked, then obviously that game over.
Yeah.
Whereas by distributing it, they did that. So this sort of distributed networking has been around for a long time, but Mastodon goes a sort of step further, and it doesn't appear to be central in the same way. It actually runs on separate sort of hubs, as it were. So, and interestingly, what Meta have said is that they're going to do something similar, something decentralized. The problem is, you know, they're already saying, oh, well, you can log into it with your Instagram credentials. So yet again, you've got Meta doing a grab for your data and trying to join up all the bits of your life to work out who you are, what you do, who you love, what you believe, all of that, and then influence you. So I do wish that, you know, I wish Mastodon well, because I think, you know, I don't have the same concerns about them. But the question in my mind is whether they can scale up to become a true alternative to Twitter, because I do think... I'm not sure that Twitter will just disappear. I mean, it could just fall on its face and disappear one day. I mean, it does seem to be a shambles there at the moment. But I just think that it's just drifting into this space where it's become very partisan, and certainly people like me are not comfortable there anymore. So, you know, I do my business and I get out, as it were. So it remains to be seen, but there is an opportunity there. And it is just, we've seen an object lesson in how to deconstruct a business. It's almost like it was deliberate.
How do we explain the fact that somebody can be clever enough and savvy enough to make not millions but billions of pounds and then do that? Isn't that a very odd thing?
Yeah. So I used to have a great deal of respect for Elon Musk, because he seemed to me to be a guy who was focused on not even the national interest, but the global interest, right? Getting us off this planet, restarting the space program, electric vehicles, you know, turning around climate change, things like that. And those were, right, laudable goals. And for all his personality quirks, I really admired him, and in many ways still do admire him. But Twitter is a different beast. Twitter is not an existential problem that needs to be solved for the human race. And moreover, he's made it a bigger problem than it was at the moment. And it's become this sort of partisan space. Some people of a different persuasion would say it was already a partisan space. It was just a different space and you were more comfortable with it.
Yeah, it was not great, was it? I mean, it was certainly going down that road already, yes.
Well, yes, but what I'm getting at is that people of the right-wing persuasion would have maybe said that Twitter was of the left because they kicked off Donald Trump and all that. And one of the problems I have is that they've let back all the reprobates. People who have no business being there. And I've been doing testing. One of the ways I test Twitter is I make reports against tweets pretty much every day to see what is now agreed with as being unacceptable and what is now deemed acceptable. And I've detected a marked shift that although they say they're applying the same rules, they're clearly not applying them in the same way, in my opinion. And I've seen a marked shift in what they will allow and the sort of individuals that they will allow on there. And I really mean hateful people who are threatening to kill, wish harm, say that people should be taken out. A BBC journalist was threatened with being, I quote, taken out recently. Completely unacceptable behaviour. And you know, even if it's not the intent, it just seems to me they have insufficient people still there to deal with the issues. I'm getting replies for reports I made that are sometimes weeks old.
See if Facebook can do better. Just before we conclude this chat, you touched on Donald Trump there, who, of course, when he was banned, went off and created his own bat and ball, didn't he? Any news on how that's going?
Well, you know, if you're of a certain persuasion, I mean, if you want a particular rabbit hole, you can go down there, but it's really, you know, you might as well go to your mum's basement and just talk to your mates there. I mean, there aren't that many people there. And really, you know, in a way, I'm just glad that they're there. But the thing is, they're infecting Twitter again as well. I'm sorry, I mean, that's my own views, but I think, generally speaking, the person on the Clapham Omnibus, if they had Twitter, would probably not be as comfortable with Twitter today as they would have been a year ago.
Well, I just hope that Mr. Trump doesn't hear of this conversation we've had, because otherwise that he'll be putting stuff out like, oh, I never really rated Fevs, he's really very poor, doesn't know anything about technology at all. I don't know if you...
You're
coming your way.
Thank you so much.
I think you should. We will pause for a song. That's a terrible impression. I'm aware of that. You don't have to tell me. Bill Buckley here, halfway through my weekly chat with Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective. You can subscribe to his podcast for free. Go to gadgetdetective.com. He's on Alexa or wherever else you get your podcasts as well. And you can follow him for Twitter, although he is there sometimes himself, but he gets off pretty quickly afterwards, as we've now learned. At Gadget Detective is what you need to do that.
Just bring your own anti-emetics before you go.
Yes, you cannot be held responsible for any bitterness you may taste, yes.
Indeed.
On to Gadgets of the Week, yes.
Yeah, I think we might just stick to one, actually. But Gadget, we use the other one as a backup, but just in case I run out of things to say, which frankly doesn't...
Has
never happened, yeah. I mean, I often put a backup ever. This pained expression on Bill's face as he says
not
that.
At all. I'm full of love and fond smiling.
Gentleman that you are. Right, so Gadget of the Week is from an Australian company called Rode, R-O-D-E. And we don't necessarily always think of Australia when we think of high tech, although I think we should, because certainly in the audio space, some of the leading companies have been and are Australian. And I point you to, you'll have heard of the Fairlight synthesizer sampler. So this was I think it was pretty much the first sampler that was commercially available. And it cost almost what you'd pay for a family house at the time. But, you know, you had, you know, Kate Bush and Genesis and all these people were using it. That's an Australian company, and there are many others. So Rode has carved itself out a niche as being a really good tech company for pro audio applications. Right. They produce something called the Rodecaster Pro 2, as in Mark 2, and it's an all-in-one audio solution. And who would it be used by? Anyone who wants to do a podcast, anyone who wants to do a radio broadcast, anyone who wants to do streaming, music production, musicians, bands, any sort of content creation. If you're a video person and you want to handle the audio, it's amazing. And this box of tricks, I've been building studios and doing this for a long time, and I've managed to replace over £10,000 of studio equipment with this box, which costs about £600. Mm. And it's quite incredible. It is an audio mixer, so you think about a mixer that you might use with faders and so forth. So it's got six faders, and you can control up to nine channels with that. You've got a built-in recorder, so you've got a little memory card slot in it, and then you can record not only the stereo mix of what you're doing, but the individual tracks. So let's say you're a musician, and then you've got bass on one track and drums and vocals on other tracks. You can not only record the stereo mix, but if you later want to go in and remix anything, you know, that bass was a bit low, let's bring it up. You can do that. You can do a remix because it records all of the individual channels as well. Mm. It can record it to an internal memory card, or it can record it to an attached computer. In terms of inputs, it's got like four analog inputs, so you can plug in microphones, which is, by the way, we're using it now. I don't know if I mentioned that. We're actually using it now.
Oh, no. I should tell everybody that you wish to be contacted by one of two particular methods today, even though others are available. Yeah. And we didn't know why at the time, and that's that, is it?
Yeah. Ah. So the reason for that is that normally I use this big 16-channel mixer, size of a house sort of thing, and all this outboard equipment. And now what I've done is I've just plugged this into a little Mac mini computer, connected to the Wi-Fi, and we're doing a FaceTime call. So instead of picking up the call on my phone or my tablet, I've picked it up on the Mac computer. But we can do Zoom. We can do all the other forms of non-ISDN on this box. But I just wanted to let you know that we're actually broadcasting on it now. We're even on Wi-Fi. We're not using, you know, cable. So I'm trying to make it as if, you know, we didn't have all the facilities to make
no
the
delay,
best of it.
No dropout, crystal clear, very impressive. No.
So the four inputs you've got, you can do microphones, you can do synthesizers, line level inputs. You can also plug guitars straight in. Rode bought a company called Aphex, who are very famous for their effects, things like, you know, compressors, delays, reverbs, de-essers, all those sorts of things. And they built it in into the computer. This thing is a Linux computer built into this, and you can just do all those effects. So I'll give you, I've just got the effects built in. So don't be shocked, but my voice will change a little bit.
Okay.
Bill.
So I'll stop by sounding a little bit like this, and if I ever need to ransom, this will be the voice that I use.
But if I want to be kind of a bit less threatening, then, you know, I could talk like this.
You get the idea. So,
I do. I think. Oh, I was just about to say, I think camp suits you. That was very camp, that little one. Oh, my word. Like John Inman revisited, marvelous.
We all have our moments, and then I can be a monster.
So I'm now in a rather big cave.
So fun though that is, and yes. You wouldn't, you know, overuse those. But the point is, that is a mixture of delay, reverberation, desibilance. So if you want to take the S's out, compression. So it's all being nicely compressed. And it's got all these profiles built into it. So when I plugged this particular microphone in, all I had to do was tell it the make and model of the mic that I was using, and it set it up for me. I can override that and set it up in the way that I want. Plus, the pads along there's eight pads along the right-hand side. They look a bit like drum pads on a drum machine.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also program them. So if you want to have, I don't know, like a music bed, for example, so then I can just talk over the bed like that. Or if it's all gone rather well, you get the idea. Mm. If it's not gone so well, you know, so we've got all of that built in, and you can upload your own sounds into it. I mentioned the things that you can plug into it. It's also got three digital channels via USB. So let's say I've got a multi-track recorder on my computer, it can record to that. Or let's say I've got a bunch of software synthesizers, it can all run on that. So you've got two-way communication, multi-track communication on three separate channels. Plus, you've got a Bluetooth connection, so that if I wanted to, for example, play some music, I could... There we are. So this is coming from a tablet connected via Bluetooth. So, and then I've got it on a separate fader, so I can pull it down and talk over it as if it was a bed and I was a DJ. And then I can just bring that down, fade it out slowly. And it's got everything that you could ever want. So with that Bluetooth connection, if you wanted to do a phone-in show, you could do it, because that can connect to your phone or your tablet, and you can take calls on either and just patch them straight in, and cool. Then record it all to the built-in recorder.
I'm horrified.
It is
basically you can do more things there than I can do here, and I suspect what I've got here did cost more than £600.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Well, yes. Actually, a lot of radio broadcasters who've had to start doing stuff from home or chosen to do stuff from home, or they want to do a podcast on the side, a lot of broadcasters have actually picked these units up.
Yeah, I bet they have.
I said to you that I'd replace over £10,000 of equipment because, you know, every box that you plug in is at least a few hundred pounds. I worked it out, Bill. The money I've saved in cables is more than the cost of the machine. Because, you know, you buy a cable, it's like £15 or something, you know, and it doesn't take a lot of those to hit 600, right? I've replaced, but also the space and the ease of use and the lack of complexity. And when things go wrong, and you know, it's so simple. This box is, I have a tape measure here. It's less than a foot wide. It's about 10 inches deep and it's about 2 inches tall. And it's got a touchscreen on it that looks a lot like colour touchscreen that you'll find on a smartphone. And you can use it to program everything, the levels. You can use it to change the effects and everything you can do with it. It's quite remarkable.
Very good.
And the last thing is all the faders, you can just choose which fader controls which input. So if you don't want certain things, like you haven't got four mics plugged in, you don't have three dead channels, you can use those faders for something else. 4.5 stars, dare I say 4.75 stars, Bill.
He never gives five, in case you didn't know, listener. He never gives five, that is
ever,
high praise.
Ever give five, but I'm going to give this 4.75 stars out of five.
Well, I'm dead envious, but I'm going to carry limping along here with me old-fashioned technology, and we will speak in 7 days' time. Thank you so much, Fevzy.